Amen. Have a seat. Happy Monday. Yay. Let's hear it for Monday. Love Monday. You guys, it's not the first week back. It's the second week back. We are in this thing. We're doing it. Three quick announcements. The first one is this. Gospel choir practice tonight. 7:30 with our new gospel choir director, Edie Hyde. You are invited. You should come. It's going to be awesome. I hope you'll be there. The second, hey girl, it's Women's Night Out on Saturday. This Saturday, $5 gets you a whole night of awesome women's fun from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. You can sign up today at grow.hope.edu. Sign up by 5 o'clock today, so we know how many people to expect. And I just, you can sign up by Wednesday. You don't even need to sign up by today, although you should, because it's going to be awesome. And the sophomores are in the lead right now. So if you're a sophomore, let's give a round of applause for the sophomores. Does anybody think another class can beat them, though? I don't know. I think maybe. Maybe the freshmen. We'll see. Sign up at grow.hope.edu by 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Okay? The last announcement is this. If you don't have plans for spring break, you should get plans for spring break. You should go on one of our spring break trip immersion trips. You can sign up at immersion.hope.edu. There are still spots available. I can't recommend them enough. I think they will change your life. They'll change your faith. You will make friends that you never would have made any other way that will be your friends forever. That's my promise to you. So I think that you should go on one of these trips. immersion.hope.edu. All right? I was talking actually to the immersion trip leaders last week. We were talking about pre-trip meetings, and I was suggesting that maybe as students kind of don't know each other and get together for the first time, that the leaders might use some of those get-to-know-you games. Do you guys love those? Those ones that you do during orientation and stuff? Some people love them. Love them. I hate them. I can't stand them. One of the ones that I really don't like is the one that says, say your name and something interesting about yourself. Some of you guys have like a back pocket thing you always say. You're like, oh, I was born with 6 fingers on my right hand or whatever. That's really interesting. People remember you. I don't have any interesting things like that for me. So what I usually end up saying is something super lame like, I actually wear contacts. Literally, I say that. People are like, oh, memorable. Thank you. But you guys, I'm super nearsighted. It's a very interesting thing about me. I'm so super nearsighted that my eye doctor actually laughed at me once when I went in to get my eyes checked. I was asking, you know, if my vision is correctable, because it's just a nearsightedness problem, which is fabulous, and I'm so glad that I live today and not back in medieval times. But I asked him, you know, would I be considered legally blind if this weren't a correctable vision problem? And he laughed. And he said, oh girl, we're way beyond that. So apparently it's super bad. And I experience it every day. It's like a miracle every day because I wake up in the morning and I can't literally see anything. Like if I couldn't put my glasses on, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between like the dog and the baby. But I can put my glasses on or put my contacts on and I can see clearly. And it really is truly, it's a good thing to keep in mind, right? The miracle of sight. It's something that I don't take for granted because if one of my contacts fell out right now, I would be totally disoriented and I would have to get a ride home because I wouldn't be able to function. I've been thinking about sightedness as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. Sightedness, blindness, and having sight is something that Mark talks about a lot. It's a metaphor that is used in the Gospel of Mark. Sometimes Jesus is literally healing people's blindness, and other times Jesus is using that as a symbol to talk about our walk of faith. Whether we can see or can't see is something important to Mark. And it seems to be especially important at this place where we are right now in Mark. We're at the hinge point in the gospel. Scholars say that there's kind of a first part of Mark where Mark is trying to introduce who Jesus is. And that's what we did first semester. And then there's a hinge place. And then the second part of Mark is where he is trying to talk about what it means to be on the way to Jerusalem or on the way to the cross. The second part of Mark is where we take a look at what it looks like to walk with Jesus on the way. And that's what we're going to do during second semester. is be on the way with Jesus. But as we're at this hinge point, Mark is starting to talk a lot about this idea of seeing. In fact, right before the verses that I'm about to read with you, we have the scene where the disciples are arguing because they're in a boat and there's not enough bread. And they had just seen Jesus feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread. And they're all worried that they're not going to have enough to eat because they only have one loaf of bread in the boat. They saw him feed thousands of people not once but twice, and they still don't see who this Jesus is. Jesus says, "Do you have eyes, but you cannot see?" And then we get this story. So turn with me, if you will, to page 820 in your Bibles. This is Mark 8, 22 to 26. Page 820. All right, hang on, I'm almost there. Okay. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then Jesus sent him away to his village, to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, we have just been really disappointed with the disciples because they have eyes and they can't see. And then Mark tells us this story of a person who literally has eyes but can't see, and Jesus grants him sight. It's like we're given a glimmer of hope. It's possible. Jesus is the one who gives sight to the blind. We don't have to give up because we see the disciples failing and failing and failing to see. Many scholars see this story as being a glimmer of hope in this metaphor of being able to see and not to see. But can we agree, just for a second, between you and me, this is a really weird story. The spit, right? Weird. And the do-over? Like, why does Jesus need a do-over? Can we agree that that's weird? It's not what I would expect from Jesus. I like my Messiah to be able to do the miracles the right way the first time, right? I like to think that there's a nice before miracle, after miracle, and there's not this sort of murky in between. It's weird to me. It's not what I would expect from Jesus. But I wonder if Mark is trying to tell us something about what it means to be on the way with Jesus. I wonder if Mark adds those details about Jesus failing to fully heal this man the first time to help us to see something about what it looks like to be a disciple. Because I wonder if anybody else in this room can relate to being sort of half healed, to being able to sort of half see. It's not total blindness, but it's really not clear sight either. It's something in between. I remember when I was in college, I was asked to share my testimony from time to time. And it was sort of a really painful time in my life. My dad had just died really suddenly. I was a Christian. So I felt all kinds of pressure to have that experience be a testimony. And I remember trying to tell my story in this way that like wrapped up this really nice bow. Like, oh, I used to feel really sad, but then I prayed, and now I'm happy again. And I wonder if some of you guys feel that way sometimes too, the pressure to say, well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And the reality is you're somewhere in between. You're here, right? You're in this life of faith. You're a disciple. You're walking on the way with Jesus, but this isn't what you thought it was going to be like. You thought that the life of faith was going to feel more sure than this or more joyful than this. You thought it was going to be easier to love those people or easier to forgive yourself. You thought it was going to be easier to understand some of these mysteries, and it's just not. It's like Jesus, he healed you part of the way, but you don't see clearly yet. Jesus asks this man a question. He says this, can you see anything? And I think that he had three options. He could have lied. He could have said, yeah, I see. It's awesome. It's great. Thanks, Jesus. And I think sometimes we feel a little bit of pressure to do that. I'm a Christian. It's awesome. Everything's great. I think option number two would have been this. He could have settled, right? He could have been healed halfway. He could have gotten half of his sight back, like me without my glasses. And he could have said, you know what? Maybe this is what it is for me. Maybe this is all I get. Maybe this is what the life of faith feels like. It feels like not a ton of joy, but maybe that's just me. Maybe it's really hard for me to pray, but maybe that's just me. It seems like that person over there has a lot of peace, and I don't have that, but maybe that's just me. And you settle, right? Because you think that this is what the life of faith is like for you. That's an option, right? But that's not what the man did. He said, I want more. He said, I don't see clearly yet. Touch me again. And Jesus touches him again, and his sight is restored, and he sees everything clearly. I think I know what that feels like. I think I'm somewhere like in that place during this life of faith, during this discipleship journey where I'm on the way with Jesus. That sometimes Jesus says to me, do you see anything? And I say, sorta, but super blurry. I need you to touch me again. I want to encourage us together to be honest about where we are, about what we can see, to have hope that we don't give ourselves sight. It is Jesus who touches us. So that when Jesus turns to you and asks you that question, what do you see? That you can allow him to put his hands on you again and give you sight to see clearly, whether that needs to happen once or many times on your journey of discipleship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.